Welcome to Let's Talk Land, a weekly land education talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts. Free land education. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I'm an accredited land consultant with United Country Real Estate, Sutton Properties, our new company name, along with my co-host, Teresa Martin. Hey, Teresa.
Hey, Lou.
Teresa is our student. She's one of our agents, and of course, I'm the professor, and our guest is our expert, so that's the trilogy. Anyway, Teresa's here with us, buying or selling homes, land or farms in Western Piedmont, North Carolina, or Southern Virginia. Just give us a shout. We'll help you out. Our new office is at 102 East Main Street next to BB&T Bank in downtown Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Please make a note of our changes to our company website. It's now www.allsuttonproperties.com. That's A-L-L-S-U-T-T-O-N properties.com. Program note, Dr. Barbie's Ask the Doctor show will now follow this show and will air at 10 a.m. Don't miss it. Our guest today is Tom Alexander. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing well, Lou. Thanks for having me on today.
And where are you out of?
I'm in Burney, Texas, so about 20 miles west of San Antonio.
Oh, boy. You got some interesting land down there, property.
It's beautiful out here, and we're right in the middle of what they call the Hill Country of Texas, Central Texas. And it's probably one of the better markets, or usually has been, and mainly because the elevation here is a little bit higher than the rest of the state, so cooler nights, a little bit drier weather. It's beautiful.
Did you grow up there?
You know, I grew up in Houston, and my grandparents had a ranch out in this area on the Guadalupe River. So, you know, I grew up with watermelon on the river and swimming in the river and catching fish, and that's where we spent our summers and, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all that, and roaming the hills with a 30-30 rifle. And it was just it was a wonderful time, and that's where I grew up with really the love of the land and up here at clear water and cedar trees and hills and a lot of rocks. And so when I jumped into the real estate business and was looking at the marketing out there, everything was done through the newspapers. And I thought there's no way to capture the beauty of this without photographs. And that's what launched me into my first venture. But I've always loved the land, something my grandfather instilled in me and still do, the passion.
Yeah, you're publishers of land magazines and also involved in the three, I would say, top land websites out there we'll talk about. But just a little background, Tom. Began his real estate career when he dropped out of high school. Tell me about that.
It was a difficult time in Houston, Texas around then. So without going too deep into that, it was just time for Tom to get to work.
Gotcha.
And so what I did is I got out and went straight into real estate school, and this is actually a really funny thing, and it's not to demean real estate agents, because my father was a real estate broker and a developer, and when I was going through school, he always told me, you know, as soon as you get out of high school, you need to get your real estate license, because if everything else in your life fails, you can always be a real estate broker.
Yeah, it's true. My father, he was in real estate, told me the same thing. I unfortunately lost him when I was 18, but I grew up around that myself down in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So what real estate school did you go to?
Oh, gosh, I think it was called Loyal Leonard's Real Estate School here, and a very colorful guy. And, you know, you just sat through the classes, and it was very entertaining. And you know, it was I did the crash course, so I think I went 8 hours a day for 30 days for one class and then the next class. And I powered through it pretty quick and took my agent's license, and then 2 years later got my broker's.
Wow. And I bet they didn't talk very much, if anything, about land, did they?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's what's missing, and that's why we had this show. There's no land education out there when we go to real estate school around the country. And, of course, we have the Realtors Land Institute, and thanks for your support. You've been a tremendous support for our organization. It's 76 years old now with about 1,600 members. And the designation I carry, accredited land consultant, there's about 540 of us, plus or minus, because we've got some new ones coming in and some, unfortunately, going to the next life. But during your time, you got your license in 1980, your broker's license in 82. You put together your first general partnership in 84 and launched Texas Farm and Ranch Magazine in 1992. What a showpiece. All of your publications, I mean, these are coffee table, high end. I was in the printing business most of my adult life, and I have a high respect, but the quality, I don't know who's doing your work, but of course the technology's there too, but it's just... the pictures bounce off the page. You use that aqueous coating when you pick it up. I've got one right here I just got in the mail a couple days ago I brought with me. And it's you should be proud of that. I'm proud to have it in my office and share it with people.
Well, thank you. They seem to stick around for a while. You know, we try to focus on coffee table quality, and because of the big photographs, you know, it's something that people pick up and look at, and it's interesting. It seems like, at least in my line of work or the circles I run in, whether it's going to a party or whatever, people find out that you're in land or ranch real estate, and they immediately key in. It just, yeah. Certainly around here, people, they have that dream that it's just part of,
oh, it's a dream book
of what they want. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure you get a lot of retention. It's not something you throw away. I know I've got probably, 4 or 5 years of your books at least in the office. And I won't let anybody touch them if they're looking at a garbage can. So we cherish them. You also got involved with farmandranch.com. And by the way, you know, in my young career, not young, but short career, almost 30 years, you know, Farm and Ranch is where I first advertised with my bigger listings way back then. And of course, in 95, you published the Rocky Mountain magazine. In 97, let's see, I've got my dates here across, but during that period of time. And then you sold the business in 2001 and became full-time in land sales. Who did you sell to?
I sold to a partner that I had in the business, and he had some residential real estate magazines, great guy, and he took that, and I think they broadened, they added a few magazines to Farm and Ranch, and then when the market hit the troubles in late 2007, 2008, it's really when everything or a lot of the marketing switched from what was a lot of print media going directly to online.
Right.
And when it did that, then the cream of the crop really stood out there, and that absolutely was Lands of America, Land and Farm, and Land Watch.
Right. So then later you, now own Texas Land Magazine, and Lands of America in 2010, and then the National Land Magazine in 2015. Currently, you've got the Land Magazine, which I have here in my hands, and, of course, the websites Lands of America and Land.com Network. What's in that network?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, what's in the network? It says
in the network. So underneath land.com, we have Lands of America.
Okay.
Then we have landandfarm.com.
Right.
And then the company we acquired a little over a year ago, landwatch.com. So between those three sets or sites, that's what we consider to be the land.com network in addition to the land magazine.
Yeah.
So if you go to the land.com, you can get to those three sites, and you can also get information on the magazine. The land.com site is, you know, it's got a lot of articles from the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more of the lifestyle of what this is, as opposed to directly, ranch listing.
Right.
So between those three sites, and when we were first kicking off, we had Lands of America and then Land and Farm. We were very strong out there, but looking at Land Watch, they really did fill in the gaps. If there was a, you know, we had states that we were really strong in with Lands of America, like Texas, maybe it was Louisiana, but you had the other states that were really held and dominated by Land Watch. So when we acquired that, it just fit hand in glove, and we had excellent coverage across the nation, and I think we're now at 7 million visitors per month.
How many?
What we have, it's amazing. 7 million.
That's on a monthly basis?
Correct.
Wow, that's quite impressive. I've gotten, the old days back in 2006, I had 8 investors, and I was going to launch a land website about the time these were coming out. And so I painstakingly, and I've got a list in my notes here, of all the sites that were actually out there at that time, and I literally copied every page, not the listing pages, but at least one of them to show the deck sheet. But at that time, it was Eagle Star, Four Horse Properties, Land Blue Book, LoopNet, Land Flip, Lands of America, Land Watch, Land and Farm, Your Three, LandAuction.com, Ranch and Land, Sell Land, United Country, which we own a franchise, Land Directory, Land Book, FarmandRanch.net, FarmandRanchMLS.com, USLandSales.com, Realtor.com, RLILand.net, which is our site, Property Line, LandNet, and Land and Farms. And that was. Are they all still around?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
in our space, we have a number of competitors, but honestly, the closest competitor to us, I think we are 26 times larger than them. And then if you take all the competition together and their monthly visitors, and then you multiply that total by seven, that's still less than the 7 million visitors that we're getting.
That's incredible.
So, you know, I am bragging. I am.
No, I want you to brag. That's why.
The company.
No, that's why
we're doing the show. We are. Yeah, we're way out there in front. And what is great is we're literally moving at warp speed. We have such a fantastic IT team. The president of our company is Grant Taylor. He knows what he's doing. He has a passion for it.
Yeah, he's got a talent.
The CEO for our company, Andy Florence, that runs CoStar, which is apartments.com, all those different sites. He's an absolute genius. So having that horsepower behind us is what just keeps us moving forward with it.
Yeah, and CoStar is actually traded, right?
It is.
Yeah. Impressive.
And it's been doing very well, too, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and you just redesigned the website, right?
We did. We just relaunched Lands of America, and I was looking at the stats. It looks like year over year, our overall traffic is up 10%.
Is so that
that's
right?
A pretty good statistic.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And the reason that we did that is, you know, it's all programmed for mobile, but by speeding up our website so that it loads a lot faster, specifically in mobile. But I think it used to be a load time of, you know, 6 to 9 seconds, and now it's more like 3 seconds. So it just makes the experience that much better when you're going from one site, one property, one listing to another.
You're married to, your wife's name's Lisa, and been married 25 years, and he was born in Borney. Is that how you pronounce it?
Bernie,
Texas. I love it.
Germantown.
Three beautiful children. Are they, 9 to 16 now, or is this old data?
Correct. 16 is my son, Ty. Very proud of him. He just made the USA Acro team.
So, what?
He started out in gymnastics and then went to acrobatics when he grew up.
Okay.
And that's here locally in town.
Uh-huh.
And recently we were kind of surprised. They invited us to Italy, and he went to Italy and against the Ukrainians and all of them. He and his team got 2 silver medals and 1 gold, and then came back here. They just had a competition up in Iowa, and because of that competition, was invited to be on the USA team. So we're going to Monterey, Mexico
in
November.
Wow.
And they're competing on the world stage. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, we'll have to follow his name and what he's doing.
Yeah, what was his name?
Ty Alexander.
Okay, cool. I love to watch all that acrobatic stuff with the girls and the guys. It's really interesting.
Now, Teresa, this isn't in the swimming pool.
I know.
Yeah, I wouldn't have dreamed of doing what these kids are doing.
Does he do the rings and all that stuff?
You know, he did that when
was
in gymnastics. He's on what's called a 4-boy team now. So anytime you get boys from 4 to 7, 17, I'm sorry, he just turned 16, but boys, 9 to 15 is his class. And if you can keep 4 boys in that age group to do something consistently over a long period of time, you're already standing out in the crowd. So there's not a lot of competition out there. I think there's only a couple of teams in the USA, but on the world stage, like the Ukrainians, and you can just imagine what those kids are like because they're brought up specifically for that.
Wow.
And so they're really doing well. They're just neat. And it, you know, keeps them mostly out of trouble.
What are the dates of that? Just curious.
I have to go back and look at sometime in mid-November.
Okay.
That we're going.
Well,
so the season is pretty much over for right now.
Shoot me an email or text, and we'll make sure we tune in and let people know. That's exciting. Congratulations.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I know you're very proud. So, let's see here. We've only got about a minute left in this segment. So, you've been involved in marketing and sales for about 35 years. Your knowledge of including micro transactional details, market valuations, cutting-edge marketing strategy, connections with Leadland industrial professions. He's one of the most well-connected and respected individuals in Texas rural land brokerage industry. And I can say that for a fact. Your name precedes you.
Thank you.
So,
well, it's a joy, and I think one of the benefits I have is by being a broker, an active licensed real estate broker for so long, along with marketing properties, whether it's in the magazine or online, and then being a part of the team that I'm with now, it's a unique position, and it's a space that I just really enjoy.
We're talking to Tom Alexander. This is Let's Talk Land. One of the things, because you were there on the front line since the 80s and watched this transition of real estate marketing from the old, well, you weren't back there, but 1925, United Country actually published the first Land and Farms magazine or catalog, which is now in the Smithsonian, by the way. And but since that time, you know, especially in the early 80s, and of course I got involved in the early 90s, there's been an incredible increase in not only the technology, but the vehicles and communication, and, you know, the demographic has changed. And so I just want to take a tour with your help, because you are the right person to talk about the history of real estate land marketing, land and farm marketing. So I'll let you start off, and we'll sit back and enjoy the conversation.
Oh, great. So, yeah, when I started, you know, first running around the state of Texas with this idea of I'm going to do this Color Ranch Real Estate magazine, because, like I'd mentioned earlier, I always thought that looking in newspapers and finding the little black and white ads without the photographs, that just did not advertise or did not show these beautiful landscapes that are out there. And so my idea was it would be rather expensive, I knew, and I knew I couldn't print as many copies as what a newspaper was doing, but I drove around and sat with the main ranch brokers at that time. These are just legends in the business, whether it's Ken O'Meara that started Ranch Investments,
right,
or it was Frank Childress and John McCollum and Harold DuPurrier and all these guys. But I would say really out of these, probably these top 10 guys that were out there, they were controlling 80% of the market that was there. And all they were doing was advertising in the newspapers. There was no internet, and there were no nice magazines. So I just continued to go into these guys' office with this idea of let's do a magazine that's going to come out quarterly. I can only print 30,000 copies if I charge you $2,000 or $2,200 a page. But I'll direct mail this magazine into the finest homes and zip codes of Houston, Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio.
Where were you getting your list from? Because, you know, the technology back then, how would you get those?
You could get them from mail houses. So they say, here's your zip code.
I got you, direct mail houses. Yeah.
Yeah, and what I did is just said, okay, let's pick every other house, or we're going to do four of these this year. Let's pick every fourth house, and then we'll just fill in those gaps as we go through the year.
Interesting.
So I knew that throughout that year I was saturating it.
Okay.
And I remember, you know, I kept going into Ken O'Meara's office, and one day he called me back, and he literally said, my God, you are a tenacious little son of a blank. But we're going to go ahead and do it. So really, in his defense, I think he was doing this just so I would stop going into his office and bugging him about doing this. So we got this first one out. And, you know, once he jumped in and I was able to go to the next guy, Frank Childress, whoever, and say, hey, Ken's in, are you interested? And he kind of said the same thing. If that'll get you out of my office, we'll all do it. Well, we got the first one together, and it mailed. And 3 or 4 weeks later, I'm calling them, and they're saying, golly, we're getting phone calls. This is working. And our customers really like this. And it was a time in the market where, and, you know, the tax laws and everything changed in 1987. And in Texas, the oil market started to crash.
Right.
And the economy was just in a tailspin. So by 92, things are just starting to turn around a little bit. I remember standing over Frank Childress's desk and looking at his pad, and he had just a spiral binder, spiral notebook, and all of these names and acreages written down on there. And I thought, golly, that's great. Those are all buyers that you've got out there. And he said, no, I don't have any buyers. These are all sellers. And that was just the way the market was. He said, most of us have not sold anything in over a year.
Right.
That's how dead the market
was. Sure.
So by the grace of God, I really did hit the timing of the market just right, because the magazine came out, and then the market started picking up a little bit. And the next thing we know, we're into 93, 94. My wife actually quit her job with Exxon, which was subsidizing this whole venture that I had, because I wasn't making much money.
Right.
And we moved up to the Hill Country in a little town called Ingram, lived at our family ranch for a while, and that put me directly in the market of where these guys were, where the top brokers were.
Was that the hottest market in Texas back then, in that
particular
area? It really
is. It always has been. Since my grandparents bought their ranch in 1942, it is just like, you know, if you are in Houston, River Oaks is the area.
I got you.
You know, and if you're going to be in Texas, the finest ranches are in the Hill Country, and specifically, you know, around the Kerrville, Fredericksburg, and Bernie area.
Okay.
And we have properties up here that are not even live water properties that are selling fairly good sized ranches for over 20,000 acres.
Good gracious.
It's recreational.
Wow.
It's amazing. So, you know, going through the 90s, we got the magazine. It's up and going. And then I remember my wife was telling me one day that, golly, you know, this internet thing that's happened was pretty cool. And
yeah.
She went out and she bought Texas-farm-ranch.com, just an illiterate URL name in reality.
Yeah, bought the domain name, yeah.
Yeah, bought the domain. And so we just started taking the magazine, the listings from the Texas magazine with the photographs and dumping them onto the website. And we weren't getting any money for it. And then we launched the Land magazine, and one day we're out there searching, and we see that farmandranch.com is available. So we buy that URL, start putting all these listings on there, went ahead and rebuilt the site so that it was searchable. And so when we sold the company in 2001, interesting statistic, the magazines were about 90% of the value.
Right.
And 10%, farmandranch.com was the value of that side of it. So 90% print, 10% online.
What is it today?
Backwards.
Yeah,
I already knew the answer.
Really, yeah. It was a very
this is for documentation.
Right.
Yeah, and that I saw that flip. It seemed like really happened. What motivated or pushed that flip was really late 2007, 2008, is when the market stopped and
there weren't that many sales.
Yeah, here the property values weren't going down, but the number of transactions were
exactly
down.
Same in
and
our
people realized we have to be on the internet, but we can do that for very cheap, $100 a month.
Yep.
And the magazine's expensive, then that's when it flipped. But it was 3 years later that I said, hey, what a great time to jump back in because all these magazines are suffering. So I knew the two guys that started Lands of America, and we had talked before.
Yeah, who were they? I know who they are, but who were the two guys?
Yeah, Alan Shannon started it. I think he was a programmer for eBay, I believe, and started it in his garage with his wife. And then a few years later, once he had it up and running a little bit, he hired Jake Massendale, who was one of his better friends. And both, you know, Jake's just a great
business
strategist.
Very
brilliant. Really friendly, neat guy. And then Alan was, you know, great for the online, and they built this company up. But when I was looking, I just realized if I can tag in with those guys and we can create a partnership to do a magazine, then when we launch, if we can just get a magazine out, there's no way that these other publications can compete. And at the time in Texas, from Farm and Ranch, there had actually grown four other magazines. I think there were a total of five in the industry.
Yeah, I remember those.
And the day that we launched, it wasn't 30 days later that the only magazines left in the market were our publication and Farm and Ranch.
Really?
Yeah, they went down. It was just, there wasn't enough.
Well, I know. I couldn't afford to advertise. I mean, I don't have the... We don't have those trophy properties in this market area. You know, people call out more than 1,000 acres. Well, we're North Carolina, you know, one of the original colonies. My family, we have 900 acres. It's been in the family since 1909, buying 18 farms between 1909 and 1929. And, you know, that's a huge portfolio in our market here. And you just don't have the multi-million-dollar sales. I've never had one.
And interesting, going back to talking about Frank Childress when I first started this in 91, 92, you know, they've got the local MLS. So you could go to San Antonio Board of Realtors and look at that MLS. But, you know, it's just economics. There weren't enough ranch brokers for the MLS, whether it's Texas Association Realtors or NAR, for them to put any horsepower, really any money behind these ranch brokers.
Right.
They just weren't subsidizing that side of the market. So I remember he invited me to come in and talk to the San Antonio Board of Realtors, and I'm telling them about the magazine, and kind of we had just gotten the farmandranch.com up and running, and this is just what I kind of saw. I'm no vision quest, but I figured this is where I thought the market was going. And it wasn't 6 months ago, just recently, I had an older fellow call me and said, do you remember when you came into San Antonio Board of Realtors and you were talking about online and the internet, and this is where things were going? And he said, look at it now, you know, how amazing. So as, you know, farmandranch.com and then the other websites, but primarily it was Lands of Texas here that got a good foothold. And then that turned into Lands of America by adding all 50 states. You know, you had Lands of Colorado, Lands of California, so forth and so on. And so Lands of America then, without any magazine, it was running out there. People were getting results, specifically in Texas. At that time, literally, if you talked to a ranch broker and said, where do you put your listings? They will tell you at least 8 out of every 10 leads that they get in the market is coming from land detectors. And an amazing statistic.
That's incredible.
We weren't quite as strong out there nationally, but we did have all the other states.
Well, you had the name recognition, the go-to site.
Yeah. And which is why when LoopNet was looking at getting into the business, they came and bought Lands of America, and they had already bought Land and Farm, and then the rest is history on right. CoStar. But, you know, it was, you know, now that we've got this larger market, you know, I'm not sure exactly what our number of customers are online now. Just say it's probably somewhere a little over 5,000. But 5,000 members, that was kind of unthinkable back in the day to be done by National Association of Realtors. So they're looking at this market and going, you know, it's just not worth us playing in. But as we've grown this market and now we've acquired these other websites and we're a presence out there, one reason why we've had to put the resources into our website and really push is we've kind of created an industry and brought it together in one area. So Trulia, Zillow, you know, they're looking at this. Or National Association of Realtors, they're watching you going, whoa, 5,000 customers, brokers, and agents that are out there subscribing to one site. You know, so, you know, yes, we've gone up on our prices. We know that some of our customers have not been happy with that, but we didn't go up on these prices for a long
time. Teresa, quit shaking your head.
But
it's okay.
It comes down to economics. You know, if it's worth it, it's going to work. But we're pouring this money back into the company, like with the rebuild of Lands of America. You know, everything that we're doing out there, spending money on SEO, if you saw kind of the way the sausage was made, you look at all the tech guys that we have and the effort that we're putting into this, the passion behind it. Frankly, I don't know how anybody, if they weren't a Trulia or Zillow, is going to come in and compete in this market.
No.
Not that there's not room for other boutique sites or something underneath, but it's a huge venture. We have, you know, I think alone in our land space, we have over 100 employees and almost a full floor on Congress Avenue and in Austin, Texas, a beautiful office. And it takes everything that we've got to keep it just full speed ahead, and we have our foot on the pedal for sure.
Are you getting into artificial intelligence or your tech guys, your gurus?
Yeah, I don't know if you call it artificial intelligence. We have algorithms that are running, and that's one thing that is, you know, been a little bit different. You used to be able to go on and automatically, when you looked for a search, like just show me Texas properties that are 2,000 to 1,000 acres and $2 million down to $1 million, and it would show you that in price descending order.
Right.
And now when you automatically go to those searches, it's going to throw an algorithm in there. So what it's doing is, it's showing the most popular properties that are coming up on that search.
The ones that's getting the most activity, is that what you're using?
Exactly, because that's going to give you better SEO rank.
Sure.
You know, and you can still go in there and do a search and change that to price descending order, acreage descending order, or you can look at a map, you know, where you can literally take our search results page, hit a button, and it flips the screen over and it goes to a map with a teardrop where all these properties are. And then a link to each one of them and all the photographs.
Your site is unprecedented. It's so easy to use. My clients, because I say, you know, sometimes there's listings out there, it's not an MLS. So go to one of these three, well, your main site. And, you have that, you know. People think it's all MLS listed stuff, but there's so much stuff that's out there. It's for sale by owner. I know you guys don't get into that. But there are other ways to identify properties.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear of a lot of, you know, guys or gals that say, you know, at night before I go to bed, I get my iPad and I go on your mobile version of Lands of Texas, Lands of America, and just start scrolling through property.
Yeah.
You know, I have my saved properties that I search, but my goal is one day to start off buying a $500,000 property, and here's kind of the ones I picked, and they follow them, and you'll see them get sold and then come back on the market for sale, and it's like, golly, you know, I wish I had bought that. I'd be the one making $100,000 on that one.
Now I'm going to have to pay more. You snooze, you lose, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know?
But
it's fun. It's a neat industry.
Oh, it is.
And it's, you know, and around here, certainly in Texas, you know, owning a ranch is prestige, and it's just something that you need in your portfolio. And as I say, prices are going up, and stock market can go down. Prices in land can go down a little bit, but at least you're standing on it. You can hunt it. You can enjoy it. And it's an asset.
Tom Alexander, our guest today. This is Let's Talk Land. So Teresa's been playing with your website on her app phone, and she's over here giggling about something.
I'm having fun with it. It's a lot of good stuff in here. Now, I was looking at that $100,000 two-acre lot. Like, wow, that can't be right.
So
you never know. Yeah, people throw it out there for a while to see what they can get.
But you thought because the magazine's all high-end that the website's all high-end.
Well, I thought everything was high-end. And now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, there's lots of stuff on here. I didn't realize that you could put homes on here, for instance.
Yeah, the difference there is just a result of the cost. You know, to advertise in the magazine is going to cost you anywhere, if you're a broker, from $1,300 up to $1,900 per page, depending upon the number of pages and the length of time of advertising you want to commit to. So the more pages you do, and if you sign up for a full year, then that price is
get the discounts.
One page on one issue. But because of the cost of advertising and the mailing list, you know, one thing that separates our magazine from others is, again, how we are attached to Lands of America and Land and Farm. But if anybody is on Lands of America or Land and Farm, and they're just say you're looking at a property of $750,000 or more, and you submit to that seller, that broker, an email through our system asking for more information. But once that goes through, you're going to get a confirmation email back, and then you get a box that pops up and says, would you like a free copy of the Land Magazine? So we know that we've captured somebody that is looking at ranches wherever they are. If it's in Texas, we send them a Texas magazine. If it's outside, we send them a National Land. But we know they're a $750,000 up buyer, and we'll send them one free magazine. Then we'll solicit them for a subscription. Sometimes we'll send them a second one. We have a pretty high rate of peeling those off to buy subscriptions. If they don't after one or two issues, then we let that go and we have the new signups that come on.
About 240,000 circulation, is that what I'm reading here?
Yeah, per year. Each magazine does about 30,000, which is pretty common at this price point. Mm-hmm. You know, if you wanted to jump up and, like, if you go to some of the larger magazines, you know, I mean, just for instance, you go to People, and they might be doing 500,000 magazines. Well, certainly they're going to be charging $50,000 a page.
Oh, sure.
You know, not that they're getting that now, but our magazine is a little bit different that we're mostly advertising, so we're able to keep the rate down. But if we went above 30,000 copies, started going to 60 or 70, we'd have to double our price just in order to be economically viable.
Something I love about your magazine, too, is the quality of people that write articles for you. I remember back in 2006, again, when that website I was working on, also, and I'll be braggadocious, I'm the one that got instigated land to be especially in our Code of Ethics, Article 11. It was never there. And finally, the professional standards approved that. Gloria Bowman, who was our CEO at the time, RLI, called me right after the vote. She says, Lou, it passed. Not only it passed, it was a standing ovation, and no one has ever seen a standing ovation for anything passed in the professional standards. So, but
you know,
no one was
for your efforts in that, but that's what it takes.
But no one was writing, because I do the Google searches. I've done them for 20 years or whenever they came out, you know, about 8 or 9 different permutations of it, Google land websites, land stories, so on. Nobody was writing about land, and I'm not a writer. But I created a land disclosure form. I'm on the Commercial Forms Committee for the state of North Carolina. And I brought to them in 2008, we need a land disclosure form. And there were 5 states at that time, Tom, that had land disclosure forms. Arizona, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, and I've got the other one. So I brought all this together to the table, and we went through them. There was like 97 issues and observations in a land transaction or potential. And, of course, we boiled it down in North Carolina to 73 because the water rights and stuff we don't have here. But I think there's like 28 states now that have those disclosure forms. But no one, I wrote an article about it, and I wrote several of buying land, selling land, and Roy Fault put them on his site, which is very nice. If you go back, some of the very first articles are mine. And but then all of a sudden, everybody's writing about land, and I just love it. But you've got some great guys in the coming magazine. Should I invest in timber? I mean, you know, what a great article that is. I read it. It's fabulous. Land Insider, I love that. I always look at that. Of course, you got a trends area. Your Fab Five, that's fun. But you guys always have your editor. He does a hell of a job for you on getting the great sources, and even Property Guide right there in the front. If you're looking at an estate, you can go and you can see exactly, you know, the acres and what page it's on. It's just so easy. It's just well thought out and well put together. It's a real pleasure.
Well, thank you. And it's something we really work hard on. Our
yeah, I can see that.
Lorraine Jarvis, and Lorraine, yeah. She's probably the most independently or naturally talented person that I've ever worked with. She's
really?
Been a dear friend of mine for a long time, but she has a passion for this, and she lives this lifestyle. She lives up in Crested Butte.
Okay.
You know, she and her husband both own farms in Mississippi. And, you know, so they understand that industry, but they live in Crested Butte, Colorado. She's an extreme skier. Her husband's been a race car driver. You know, they helicopter ski, they mountain bike. You know, if I go up there and visit them one day, we're mountain biking, and then we're on motocross bikes up through the mountains. And so throughout the, and that's a lot of this industry is the recreational side of it.
It is.
So when she starts thinking about articles where one time we may peel off and we might start talking about, you know, timber or something really industry related, well, then we'll bounce over and do something on the fun side, you know, or something about wine or, you know, anything that people can use when they're enjoying the outdoors. Because, again, those are people that if they're in the right income bracket, they're good candidates for buying this type of property.
Yeah. I want to switch this a little bit and pick your brain and do a little history, too, on land values over the years. Just as a basis, I mentioned my mother's family here in North Carolina for many generations, but from 1909 to 1929, my great-grandfather and grandfather bought 18 farms, not contiguous, but all in the area, and some on the river, and of course, they were farmers, so cropland was important. It's got the beautiful Blue Ridge, I mean, like a 180 on most of this property, and just a stunning, stunning property. It's still in the family. The last acquisition that my grandfather bought was in 1929, and he bought 300 acres on the Fisher River, and paid $3,500 for it, which if you calculate, it's about $11.77 an acre. And back then, this was 1929, and the timber literally has been harvested twice. It's in, we have deferments here for timber, 20 acres or more, 10 acres pasture, 5 acres, where they defer taxes as long as you maintain a certain status. And the taxes on that land right now is $280 a year, because of the deferments that's been in. But if you put that on the market today, you're probably looking at about 5 an acre in our market, you know, and if you do the math from 1929, you're looking at about a 6% annual growth. Tell me an investment that does that, that you can enjoy and you own. And tell me an investment that's out there that's better than land.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And seeing that over time when we had the downturn in 87, you know, we watched the price that really did fall off for the first time in a while. And it took them a couple of years to bottom out. Then it took a few more years for it to come back up. So, but outside of that, since then, it's been a pretty consistent incline. We've had some slowdowns, and I know some of the really high-end trophy properties in Colorado took a pretty big hit. But, you know, your average land, your good ranch land, your farm properties, all that are, you know, they may take a little bit of a dip, but they're going to come right back and keep on going. They're just, you know, it's a commodity. It's yeah. Like gold, silver. They're not making any more.
No. Well, I do. I'd say I make land because I do. well, I do rural land developments, you know.
Yeah.
Real estate, you have inventory. Teresa, we talk about it, you know, and that's what your real estate firm is, your listings. That's your value if you want to sell your company or most of your value. It's in the equation. Yeah. And,
well, and there's so much you can do with it and so many programs. Lorraine's husband, Robert Jarvis, who's a dear friend of mine, right. Said they have properties in Mississippi. And I remember when we were growing up and, you know, we're 18, 19 and running around some of the family properties. And we got a one, it's like 2,000 acres. And it's just a flat soybean field with one 80-acre chunk of woods right in the middle.
Wow.
And he took that and got with Ducks Unlimited and got in a government conservation easement program that he planted over 1 million trees out there, sawtooth oak and cypress and mm-hmm. some water impoundment areas. He ended up selling that property to one of his good friends. And now, you know, the trees are big enough there to where you can hang a deer stand in.
Right.
The duck hunting holes are just phenomenal. So it's a forest, and it was one of the first properties in Mississippi for bears to come back from Arkansas, swim the river, and then, you know, take up home and residence
sure.
on that property. So that, in my mind, that's true conservation.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's somebody that didn't sell off their land in their in their family, they took it and increased the value of it and turned it into recreational property. And it's just, it's heaven on earth out there now.
Yeah. Yeah, we just did a show a couple of weeks ago with an ecologist, and he actually has five other people in the ecological, biological restoration, wetland mitigation, and carbon credits, and all kinds of stuff, and timber, and so on. And so we're going to expand that that concept because I think it's real important. It's something that people need to know about. 12 different ways to make money on land. Never thought of all the 12, but we identified them in that show if you want to listen to it. But we want to get more involved in that.
Well, tracking those values is what is so important. We started a number of years ago our Lands of America comp sales program. So whenever a broker sells a property and they go to delete that property or market it.
I love doing that part. I love going on there and putting the sale. Yeah, that's my favorite thing.
Some people don't. Yeah, they may not do exactly the sold price on it because their seller does not want or their buyer does not want them to put it on there.
Sure.
But they might put at least the property's the price that it was originally asking. And then you got a notice there for the brokers, or if you're a buyer and you have a Lands Insight account, you have access to all that data.
I know.
And being able to go in there and say, okay, show me these two counties in the last year and what property sold and how much they sold for and give me the details on them, and we'll get that out in a spreadsheet.
Yeah, that's a great feature. I mean, great, we do that. We use that through our MLS, obviously, because we've got the listings and the sales. But you guys actually have stuff that aren't, again, I go back, that aren't in MLS. They're private sales and other things that come into play that gives you more data, and the more data you have, the more accurate. You know, I wrote a show. I wrote a class for North Carolina. I'm the only land instructor with the only land class in the state, and finding out probably the only one in the country has a CE class, Introduction to Land Brokerage. But Ron Loftus, who was my realtor MAI appraiser that I've had a relationship for all these years, and he invited me to write a class with him on for the North Carolina Board of Appraisers. They don't have land education either. If you're MAI, Master Appraiser Institute designation, you also have to be dual licensed and be a realtor as well. So they have no land education. So we wrote a class, Rural Land Values, Art or Science, and had about 70-some appraisers in our class. And we all determined there is the value is what the buyer wants to pay and the seller will accept. I don't care what you use. You know, you can get close to what you think market value is, but that's really the true value. And that was our determination in that class. That was.
It's very true. It's interesting. I had a friend of a friend that called me the other day, and he said, I'm looking on MLS, but they had 1,100 acres outside of San Antonio here, and Texas Department of Transportation was coming in and wanted to take, you know, I don't know, 40 feet off the front of their land all the way down the highway along the front. And he said, they're offering me X, and I have no idea to be able to tell. And so I got him a Lands Insight account. He went in and started looking at the stats, and he said, golly, well, I've seen one here for $6,000 an acre.
Right.
And they're offering me $4,500.
Right.
And we're able to do a little research and go, no, actually, there's a reason why that's sold for $6,000, not $4,000 to $5,000 like the other property.
Always a reason.
So he didn't have to go and hire some lawyer. He just realized, okay, this is worth it. I'll settle with them, and we'll move on down.
Sure. The appraisers call me all the time to verify sales, which they have to do. Either call the buyer, the seller, the attorney, the listing agent, selling agent, to ask the questions about, was this truly an arm distance transaction? Was there anything unique that created this price? They have to verify that before they can legitimately use that for a comp. And so I get calls all the time for that. But it's an interesting industry that we're in.
It's a lot of drivers in that market.
Yeah.
It could be a neighbor owns the property, and he just struck oil on his land, and he wants to buy everything touching him. And he's willing to pay a little bit more because he may have gotten his for $2,000 an acre, and it's worth $4,000, but he'll pay $6,000 for next door because that pencils out in the long run.
And if you don't buy it, you probably not get another chance in his lifetime.
That's for sure. It's amazing how many people I've talked to that said, I had an opportunity to buy this one property, and I didn't do it. You know, all the way to me, going back to my friend Robert Jarvis, I think it was in the mid-2000s, we were looking at a farm, and, we're really negotiating hard. And I think this one track, they were asking $1,600 an acre, and we were offering $1,525, and by God, we're not going to go a dollar higher, and we walked away. And, here it is. I think it was 2 years later, it was selling for $2,000 an acre, and now it's up over almost $4,000.
Yeah.
And we were fighting over, $20, $25.
You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, really. But you get older as you grow.
I got a question for you. And this show actually is really dedicated to the Realtors Land Institute that I'm so proud to be a member of that beautiful family. It's a very unique group of people, and you probably know most of them. It's like a family. It's different than selling houses. It's more cutthroat and dog eat dog, and we all help each other. I mean, I can call any RLI member in the country and say, I need help on something. And, you know, it's just, it's something quite unique. How did you get involved with the Realtors Land Institute?
Just known about them for so long. They supported us. We've supported them, you know, all the way back to my farm and ranch days. Just a great organization. Aubrey, the new president over there, has really breathed new life into it. And, you know, I think that shows in the number of ALCs, the young ones that are graduating now, which is such a incredible designation. At least if you know somebody has that ALC, they got their experience out in the field, but they've now got the classroom experience. So they understand the economics about timber or farmland or whatever it is. And it's a wonderful thing to have. And they're, you know, I guess they're just really the only ones out there that are really catering to the land industry.
Tom, it's the only land education program, that structured education program in our industry. And like I said, I've got the only CE class, definitely for the state of North Carolina. I mean, it's a shame. It's, that's what this show is to kind of offset and at least give buyers and sellers too, property owners, a chance to learn about timber, to learn about agriculture through the shows that we have, to help mentor them and give them at least some source of like these more advanced things like carbon credits for timber, you know, and wetland mitigations and, you know, and legislative issues and so on. And I enjoy doing it. I love helping people.
They have that knowledge.
Yeah.
For sure. And, well, you know, if they've got the ALC, they put in the time. So they've sold a certain number of properties.
10 million. 10 million is the requirement.
Over how long a period of time?
Five years.
Like 5 years, yeah.
And, of course, each class, there's six classes required. I mean, six classes, two-day classes. One's a two-and-a-half-day class, the investment analysis class. We're tested at the end of each class, and then there's a final exam. And then an ALC has to recommend you. I've written many letters for them and mentored quite a few over the years and love doing it. And then, of course, the board of directors have the final say-so if you're going to be allowed to have the designation. And it's not the hardest one out there. CCIM, their course curriculums is much different. It's more math because you're doing, you know. But we have that, too, in farmland. You still have cap rates and internal rates of returns because it's a business. And so we have classes on that, too. So the curriculum that we now have, and it changes from time to time. We just updated the Land 101 class, and I think six of our classes have been updated so far, with the new teaching methods and getting the students more involved instead of a lecture-type format. And I'll actually be teaching in Charleston, South Carolina on the 25th and 26th, the Land 101 class with the new format, and then in Tulsa, Oklahoma in October, and then in September, and then in Asheville in October. So I got three opportunities to help some more folks learn about land coming up, plus my four-hour class in Brunswick County in October, too. So I love teaching. I love helping people, and you guys do too.
And you know, those designations and those values, knowing those values, just help everybody in the market, because it doesn't do anybody any good if they want to sell their property and they're going to listen to the residential agent that's going to agree with them that, you know, this property might be 20-30% overpriced and they're going to take it because they're
or underpriced. They leave a lot of money on the table.
That's right. They could be losing money.
Oh, I know that. I mean, it's What is the most unique property that you guys have been involved in through your marketing and advertising, helping buyers and sellers get together?
Oh, God. You know, I think one
and I'm
of
sure
most,
there's more than one.
Yeah, but probably the one that was the most popular out there was, the Wagner Ranch in Texas. I think it was over 500,000 acres, and I know they're asking $723 million originally, I believe. And Stan Kronkowski, the Walmart guy, is the individual that bought it, but that was sold with Charles S. Middleton Group, Bernie Utrecht,
Bernie,
and Hall & Hall had the buyer up there. So,
okay, I know both,
you know,
of them.
Really, yeah, really good brokers that are out there, and they got that deal done. So an enormously large sale, and very interesting. You know, there's so much. There was an oil and gas business along with it, and there was just a lot of moving parts along with employees and horses and equipment. And, you know, it takes a lot of expertise.
Oh, yeah. How many acres was it?
I think it was 500,000 acres.
500,000. Rodney, there's a tote for us all. 500,000 acres. Is that the state
that's
of Rhode Island?
Yeah, that's like that's the other thing. Yeah, that's amazing. So there have been some neat plays. You know, I love watching those deals, and I also love watching, you know, a really beautiful 160 acres on the river that, you know, might be bringing literally $30,000 an acre, but it's clear water flowing and good building sites and just, you know, great for a family. You know, we call these kind of legacy properties, but because normally when somebody buys it, they put it in their property and it never gets sold.
Yeah.
And what a great asset to pass down to your kids and grandkids.
Well, I'm a great-grandson. Thank you, family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's fed and clothed us and put us through school and, you know, and it's still an asset.
Yeah.
A paid-for asset that can be passed on for future generations. It's quite a unique thing. Any other unique properties?
Oh, gosh. You know, like I was saying, you know, watching my friend sell that one, that was a soybean field at one time, and now it's just a beautiful conservation easement with bear and white-tailed deer and ducks all over it. You know, all the way to we have a property that just came across. It's in the latest magazine.
Okay.
It's in New Mexico. It's a Tom Ford property, and he's a designer, you know, multimillionaire, famous guy. I think he's originally from Houston. I know from Texas. Now he lives, I believe, in New York. But just, you know, it's been in a number of different movies. And I think it was in Lonesome Dove and some other ones. But it's just a phenomenal property. And, you know,
and that's currently being promoted in the magazine, the website?
Yes. And it's on, I want to think, in our recent Land magazine. It's on the back inside cover, I believe.
Okay, I've got it here.
Copy, but interesting, really, you know, just out in the middle of nowhere in a very modern property. But you see those, and, you know, there's always the, you know, whether it's the Clint Eastwood properties or Ted Turner's or, you know, the John Malone's or some of those. Those are really neat to watch, and it's fun to watch these families. And it's interesting, these families that control so much land, I think in the last 10 years have literally doubled the size of their holdings.
Like the Ted Turners?
Because they know that it's a good buy.
The Ted Turners of the world?
Yeah. And you know, and that's neat to watch, and it's good legacy, and we like to follow that. But at the same time, I think what we're more about is helping that first buyer get into the market.
Yeah.
So
even if it's 5 or 10 acres or 20 acres or, you know, I mean, you think about it, and this is our market, and that's what I said, I create land. We have a 10-acre rule in this area, so as long as I break up property 10 acres or more, I don't get the government involved. God, I mean, unbelievable. You know, nope.
Yeah.
And, but you take a guy that's a family that's buying 20 acres, you know, or 30 acres, and they're spending $100,000, $200,000, then they're going to build a $200,000 home. That's a $400,000 mortgage.
Oh, yeah.
And you just don't have a lot of people that can do the 50, 100, and so on, plus build a house and make the improvements. And so there's a demand. You know, my sweet spot is the 10 to 20 acres. So I'll go buy 100, 200 acres. I've done it often, or joint venture with something, or do it vicariously, and, you know, go in and do the highest and best use. And, you know, I just did one 140 acres with an appraisal of $4,250 an acre, and you know, if I put it on the market, you know, I got a $400,000 price tag, but I went in there and I call it flex property. I go into MapRite and I break it up the way I would divide, and assign an area and sign a price. And because less is more and more is less. And then the buyer comes, instead of here's a corner, here's a corner, here's a corner, it's flex property. So it may be a 20-acre listing. Guy said, well, could I get more pasture on this side, or could I get more of this, or stream course, or more road frontage? I let the buyer design the property. And, of course, if we agree to sell it, we got to just make sure that, you know, we can sell the rest of it. But I've been doing this for a year. I call it flex property. And it creates a, you know, a different way of marketing.
Yeah, I enjoy watching, you know, it seems like when you go out from a city, just say it's Austin or San Antonio around here, just outside of the city, those properties may be, you know, $10,000, $12,000 an acre, but then you quickly start dropping down to $7,000 and then exactly. $5,000 and then $2,500. So if you're a relatively young person, 30 years old, making decent money, and you can go out and buy 50 acres and pay $5,000 for it, but you know 10 miles in towards town, it's already $7,000 an acre. You mm-hmm. go out a little bit more, a little bit less, but buy that property if you can afford it, hold it for 3, 4, 5 years, and then 1031 exchange into another one.
Exactly.
You know, those are the guys that when they're finally in their late 50s or 60s are out there buying the $2, $3, $4, or $10 million property. And it happens all the time. It just takes you got to get out there and look. You have to be disciplined, you know, about your money and what you're going to buy. But, again, what a great asset to be out there. Yeah. And you can hunt it. You can run your cows on it, have horses.
Four-wheelers.
Take your kids, ride four-wheelers, whatever it is. It's just fun.
I love it. Yeah, I had a guy call me today, and he's I called him actually on a piece of property that's Jordan's one that that I'm selling, and he had sent the family a notice that he wanted to sell his and, you know, wanted to get the adjoining property owner's chance at it. And I do that, too, on every listing. I always contact the adjoining property owners because sometimes, you know, they're the ones that are going to be your buyers for obvious reasons. Yeah. This guy's got 300 properties he's bought in the last 3 years. He's worked his way out of working full-time for a company and just keeps investing him in land. And so we're going to hook up, and I'm going to see if I can help him out. And he wants to start moving some of these more professional. He's not working with a realtor, which is interesting. He's been doing it all by himself. So that came through the radio show here. There's a contact that had listened and said, hey, I want to talk to you. So there's some benefits,
too.
Yeah,
some of the largest developers and most successful ones that I know are not agents or brokers.
No. Yeah, you don't have to have a license.
No, you don't.
You do not have to have a license to be involved in land.
Yep, and you don't have the restrictions or requirements or disclosures and stuff. So for a lot of them, they just find it easier. Yeah, it's amazing. I love watching people be successful.
Oh, I do too.
Growing their land size.
Yep.
Building that dream place.
Yep, and you build some of the best friends I have in life are people I've done real estate transactions with. Because you have that relationship going through the process, you know, and you build a bond. And of course, I always tell my clients at closing, congratulations and thank you for your business, but I'm here as long as I'm on above ground. You need an account, you need this, you need where to get tires or whatever it is, you know, and they do.
Yeah, you need to cut a road in, you need to clear some brush, we got to drill a well, whatever it is. Yeah, you stay with that customer and they're going to come back with you.
Or I tell people when they're traveling and they get, I need a dentist, they lost a tooth, it's Saturday, go to a real estate office. I mean, they know everybody. And usually can get something done for you. It's an incredible organization. With just a few minutes left here, Rodney, let you do your commercial, and then we'll wrap this thing up, Tom.
Okay. You tell me when we're ready.
You're ready.
All right. Well, Lou, thank you. And Teresa, thank you for having me on here today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I love talking about land and everything that has to do with our industry. If anybody is looking for a property, I would invite them to go to landsofamerica.com. landandfarm.com or landwatch.com. And if you would like a copy of our magazine, you could email me at talexander@land.com. I'd be glad to send you out a free copy if you would like it. We have both the National Land Magazine and the Texas Magazine. And then on top of that, our overarching land.com website is a link to all of our different sites, so you can get information about the magazine or our three land websites. And that's it. Hope you enjoy it, and it's been a pleasure.
Do me a favor and repeat your websites, okay?
Okay. Landsofamerica.com.
Okay.
Landandfarm.com and landwatch.com. And then the main site above all of them that you can get to all of those, if you wanted a shorter bridge, would be just land.com.
Okay. Well, Tom, you've been a fabulous guest today. I've been wanting to have you on for a long time. Thank you for the history lesson. I wanted to document this. You've been right there in the trenches and part of the growth of our industry. And congratulations on you and all your staff and all your associates and for giving us one of the best products, multiple best products in our industry. And you provide a very important service to us, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Luke. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us today. Let us know how you like the show. If you have any guests or topics that you would like to suggest, we would appreciate them. All questions are welcome, and all of our guests may be emailed with your questions or concerns as well. Tom's email address only. I don't put your phone number, Tom, but we put that on the letstalkland.net website. It won't be on Spotify or Podbeam, our other two sources. But you can go to that site and connect with Tom, and you'll have a great experience. The show is for the public and, most importantly, for real estate agents who don't have a source for land education. As I mentioned, our website, base website, is letstalkland.net. It's also on Podbean and Spotify. My email is Lou, L-O-U, at mylandpro.com. My cell number is 336-669-1405. Teresa, give me your email and your phone number.
My email is teresa.mylandpro@gmail.com, and my phone number is 336-209-2937.
Rodney, how do they get to us?
Well, they can go to our website. Go to WKTE1090.com, and they can click on our website there, and they continue in every Saturday morning.
From 9 to 10?
From 9 to 10, and also they can download the Simple Radio app and hear us all over the world. All over the world.
Wow.
Even in outer space.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. On the moon, maybe.
And we are the best number one beach and oldies station in the triad.
That's right, for 5 years in a row.
That's the East Coast, right?
Yes, holy East Coast.
And then you got a nice award recently.
Yes, DJ of the Year from the Reader's Choice Awards.
Wonder why. All right,
congratulations.
Well, thank you.
All right, tune in to Dr. Barbie. He's next. Enjoy the show today.